This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in, everyone, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site, joined, as always, by Dylan Sanders, our contributing writer slash student slash recent or potential graduate here in the next couple months. LSU opens up their away schedule here in the SEC at Auburn this weekend. We got everything covered. I will be there in attendance in the flesh, looking at everything up close and personal on the field. So we'll have that coverage for you guys. And then Sonny and Dylan will be hammering home, back in the safety of their own homes here in Baton Rouge and where Sonny lives in on the North Shore. So we'll have all that covered for you guys. We'll make sure to have a wider range of coverage. But before we get started here on some of our thoughts, just wanted to remind you guys to continue hitting the like button on those YouTube videos. Make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts from, and any little thing like that really helps us out as we try to grow this thing out. So with that, Dylan, it's been a pretty hectic week for you, it sounds like. I mean, what's your week been like?
So just to give an update on myself, why it was a little bit lighter of a week for me on the site is on Monday. Well, yeah, Monday heading to class, I got hit at a traffic stop, and I'm fine. There was a couple days of discomfort, but by now I think I'm pretty much back to normal. So now it's just a headache of having to deal with my car and get that fixed and go through insurance and stuff. But, it's been a lighter week for me. I've been resting. It's been chill, but, I'm back now and, ready to talk about, Auburn, because this game is always so much fun.
Yeah. We touched on it a little bit in our last recap of the New Mexico game and kind of touched on Auburn a little bit, during that last pod, but we'll really dig into the weeds here, this team. Just some early thoughts from me. Like Dylan said, this is going to be a very entertaining matchup. It always seems like it is. LSU, just for whatever reason, has had some really crazy moments with this program, with Auburn, over the last several years. You know, they're currently on a little bit of a two-game skid as they go to Jordan-Hare Stadium to try to snap that. Obviously they lost a couple of years ago in a wipeout game, but also lost last year at home when Bo Nix ran, pretty much had a Johnny Heisman kind of game against LSU last year. And just talking with a couple of the players that were on the field last year, they certainly have that on the backs of their minds. Obviously Bo Nix is no longer there, but they definitely want to right the ship with this one. And I think you're going to see a very focused, a very determined defense, a defense that's riding a ton of momentum into this game, and a defense that I think should have some success against an Auburn offense that has been, just put it quite plainly, it's been putrid at times, and it's been hard to get going. They're currently on their third quarterback, and Robbie Ashford, it looks like he's going to draw the start. TJ Finley's not quite ready yet, from everything we've been seeing and hearing. Zach Calzada obviously was a starter early in the year for the Auburn Tigers, and he's out for the year. So they're going to stick with Robbie Ashford, it looks like. He's a little bit more of a mobile quarterback. Obviously this offensive performance, I think, or this offensive team, is going to be predicated on the run game and Tank Bigsby, which LSU certainly has a full grasp of Tank. You know, he's a dynamic runner. He's been a really, really electric SEC runner the last couple of years, but Tigers have done pretty well against him the last couple of years. Just looking at some of his stats, against LSU in the last couple of years, LSU's done a nice job of scheming against him, and it's going to be really, really important, I think, for Matt House's group to certainly limit the running attack as much as possible. So with that, I think defense, Dylan, what are your thoughts, I guess, on LSU's defense and just the potential success they could have against this Auburn offense this weekend?
Yeah. As I put it in my three players article, go check that out if you want a little bit more in depth on some of these people. But this game's kind of weakness versus strength and weakness versus strength on both sides of the ball, where the Auburn offense really is atrocious. It's hard to watch, really. And I've noticed the one thing that really tends to shut them down, and it's not that shocker to say, is teams have been able to shut down Tank Bigsby. We saw Mercer, and that game wasn't even a blowout, but Tank really did run for almost 150 yards against them, and he's not gotten close to that, and we've seen the offensive output really drop off. So he should be the focus. Robbie Ashford is kind of like, I don't know. He's not really reached what he could be. He could be super talented. As of right now, though, I'd kind of say he's kind of like Jaden Daniels light. He's not going to be as fast. He doesn't have the strongest arm. So it goes both ways, where both teams, via who they are practicing with this week, are going to be prepared for the quarterback and what they bring to the table.
Just kind of building off of that a little bit, this is not a passing offense that I think LSU has to worry much about, especially considering the way that their secondary's played in the last several weeks. You're going to have Joe Fusha slide back in there with Major Burns out for the next several weeks, but getting Fusha back into that lineup is going to be really key for this secondary. Auburn comes into this game with only two passing touchdowns on the year.
Do you want to take a guess of where out of 130 Auburn ranks in passing offense?
In passing offense, I will say they are 118, 119, somewhere around there.
Close. They're 103, but they're 103. Far away from that range.
Okay, I haven't. All right.
But when you look at their strength of schedule, that's way below where they should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, they got obliterated by Penn State a couple weeks ago, had a really rough going against San Diego, I believe it was, a couple weeks ago as well. San Jose State. And then obviously last week with Missouri, they kind of really fell into one there where they were able to win in the final seconds of that game. So, this is going to be really, I think, all about LSU's defensive ability to shut down the run. Auburn doesn't really have a ton of, offensive threats that I think could pose trouble for this secondary. They have a couple guys that have reached double digits catches on the year, but really nothing to be, afraid of in terms of the passing offense. I think it's going to be a really, really important game for the front seven and getting pressure and just shutting down those running lanes. I think that's going to be the biggest defensive goal for this game. And I think Matt House will certainly be pretty aggressive in dialing up some pressures because of how well that secondary has played.
Mm-hmm. It's a big opportunity for LSU. The argument could definitely be made that they're already a top 25 team in the country and that they should be ranked as such. A couple weeks ago, it's crazy to think that, like, by the Auburn game, they're like, oh, they should be ranked. But when you look at all of, like, the analytics, the football power index, where they rank in statistics, LSU is already a top 20 team in most of these, like, stats. So, like, beating an established team like Auburn that I know does not have the national relevance right now, just because despite being 3-1, which is important, they found a way to win the games. They haven't looked good doing it, but they have won them. So there is something to that. But even though they don't have the highest stock right now, beating a nationally another nationally relevant brand always helps your case. So like LSU should come in and win this one. So being able to do that would be huge for the national perception of this team.
Yeah, and just kind of building on that, I think doing it on the road too is something mm-hmm. that I think is going to give a lot of consideration for LSU being a top 25 team. And when you kind of look at what you know they did 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State, I mean that's an elite offense that they're going to face this year. But they were really able to shut down for most of that second half, allow the offense to get back into it. And I just think that the defense is just riding so much momentum right now. They're getting so much consistent play from really all three levels. I mean, when you hold a team to under 100 yards in a game, coming off of a game where you allow a Mississippi State team that was averaging, you know, close to 500 yards, you know, in their offense and their total offense a game, that's something to really build on. And I think when you really look at LSU's defense, this is going to be a big game for that front seven. I think it's going to be a game where a Jaqueline Roy, Makai Wingo, mm-hmm. You know, potentially a Mike Jones or a West Weeks or somebody like that can make some big plays in the run game and keep Ashford from evading the pocket. And because, you know, I was talking to a couple of people that cover Auburn and they were telling me that Ashford does a really good job of getting out of the pocket. But he's still looking to throw. You know, he's not really looking mm-hmm. to run as a quarterback. He has that mobility to run. But once he gets out of the pocket, he's really still looking to throw downfield. And so the secondary is going to have to certainly keep their eyes open on what's going on as things open up down the field. But
I want to give you two numbers, Glenn.
Sure.
10-28 and 10-31. The difference between those two is three. 10-28 is the amount of yards allowed by Georgia. 10-31 is the amount of yards allowed by LSU this season.
Yeah.
Now think of the national perception of the two defenses and how everybody views going into them. It's night and day. People just assume Georgia has the best defense in the country. And, you know, it's not like they've played crazy amounts of team, like the crazy difference in teams. I think their strength of schedules should be very similar. And Georgia has been helped out a lot more by their offense, mm-hmm. Which is another thing to point to. So LSU's defense is a lot better than people give it credit for. And this is just going to be a game where I believe they have all of the advantage in the world to really be able to shut them down, because Makai Wingo kind of has been a revelation in run defense. He's been awesome. A true mauler. And it's arguable to this point that in terms of just run defense, he's brought more than maybe Mason Smith would have. I think Mason Smith is definitely a more intimidating presence, draws more attention, and is a better pass rusher, but it's hard to downplay the impact that Makai Wingo's had in the run game.
No, I agree completely. He talked to us really before the season, or kind of when the news came out about Mason, how much he's been focusing in on the run game for him personally, and how much he felt like he had advanced in that area. So I definitely feel like I kind of echo those sentiments. And yeah, I'm expecting a pretty dominant defensive performance this weekend from LSU, which kind of turns my attention to the offense and just what do we want to see out of this LSU offense. And I think for me, the biggest thing, when you're going into a road environment like Auburn, to a program where you haven't had a ton of success on the road against that team, one of the things you absolutely have to do is start fast. And I know we've talked about it a couple of times this year, but it's a theme that I think has to be brought up again because of the opponent LSU's playing this weekend. Florida State, you did not start fast on offense. Mississippi State, you did not start fast on offense. And you kind of dug yourself an early hole. Now you were able to dig out of those holes in the second half with some better offensive play. But you can't really bank on that, especially when you're going into a road environment against an Auburn defense. It's not going to be world beaters out there, but they're consistent. And I think they can absolutely, you know, kind of mess things up for LSU if they're not careful, if they're not focused on handling the ball and not turning it over and all that. So I think it's going to be really important for this LSU offense to start fast, to establish the run. They kind of built on some momentum last weekend against New Mexico, where they got really all four backs involved. They went a week there with Noah Kane not having much to do with the offense, but he bounced back and led the team in rushing yards last weekend. I'm sure that's opened up some more opportunities for him this weekend. So I'll be very interested to see kind of how they utilize the run game. Doesn't sound like weather's going to be a huge factor in this at all anymore. I mean, it sounds like this hurricane is moving a little bit further east, and we won't, have many of those effects come Saturday. But it's going to be really important for LSU to start this game in the right way offensively, get on the board early, kind of shut this Auburn crowd down a little bit. That's always important in an SEC game, and I think it's going to be really predicated on the runners to do a really nice job here early in this one. But what are your thoughts offensively for LSU and some of the keys that you're looking at?
Yeah, there are three major names, really four major names to keep in mind while LSU is on the ball. LSU has the ball, and none of them play for LSU. It's Colby Wooden, Marcus Harris, Eku Liota, and Derek Hall. This is one of the strongest defensive fronts that LSU is going to face all season. So it's going to be really, Emory Jones and Will Campbell have impressed, especially Emory Jones has impressed these past 2 weeks, but this is by far going to be his biggest test. No matter which one of the two edge rushers gets assigned to him on any given down, it'll be a big test. Derek Hall is an absolute mauler. Colby Wooden is probably the best athlete that they've had to, that the interior is going to have gone against. So the offensive line, they've looked better. They've looked good. They looked really good against New Mexico. But now with Dellinger out, whoever takes the place at guard, let me know if you know who that'll be or if you have a guess, but they will be tested unlike they have been before, probably since Florida State, because Jared Verse was really, really talented. And that Florida State front was good, but I'd say Auburn's is even better as a whole.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Yeah, so you mentioned the offensive line. It looks like what they're going to do is move Miles Frazier over to left guard, which opens up Anthony Bradford, Tremont Shorts to play that right guard spot. A couple veterans that have been battling it out this week in practice. And, it's going to be extremely important for this offensive line to kind of continue building on some of that momentum that we've seen the last couple weeks. I mean, this is definitely a step up in competition, for them from last week. We've seen it with Emory Jones and Will Campbell now for two straight weeks. But they're going to be on their fourth different O-line rotation in 5 weeks, in five games. And that's going to be something that this O-line is going to have to overcome. I'm really, really looking at this front line and seeing just, okay, are they communicating well? Are they eliminating those kind of shoot yourself penalties? That was a big problem for them at times this year, has been kind of the penalties as they've been implementing a lot of different pieces into this rotation. So if you can avoid the penalties, avoid putting yourself in second and long, third and long situations, continuing to move the sticks, I think it's going to be a good day if you're LSU. So I'm definitely looking at them, offensively as well in the passing game. We've seen Jaden make immense strides in the last couple weeks, mm-hmm. In terms of his decision making, in terms of his accuracy. He's not really looking to run as much, at least what we saw last week against New Mexico. You could tell there was a conscious decision for him to always be looking downfield and to hitting his receivers. And you saw him get nine different guys involved in those two quarters and change that he played in last week. He threw the ball to nine different receivers for catches. They were consistently moving the sticks. They were finding, getting in scoring range, scoring touchdowns, getting field goals. And I think that was the version of Jaden Daniels last week that LSU hopes can carry over into this season. And that is being able to use his legs as kind of a last resort. And in that last resort, being able to make some of those plays with his legs is going to be really, really important for him. But I know you've been a big on Jaden Daniels from the start. Just looking at his development over the last couple of weeks, what has been the big thing that stood out to you?
Yeah, I am very pleased with what I've seen. I was been on the Jaden Daniels train. I always thought he brought a lot to this offense, and he has definitely shown what I thought he could bring. But it's still in the early stages. You know, he's still getting used. We're getting to the point of the season where we're about to know, really have a good idea of what Jaden Daniels we're going to get. You can only change so much in one season. And while there is a lot to change and a lot can be changed as opposed to normal seasons, we're kind of getting into the flow of things. He's been playing a lot. Right now I think we did see the best Jaden Daniels that we have seen yet. And I'd say each game he's gotten better. So that is, looking into it, if he keeps getting a little bit better every game, great. The big thing I want to focus on right now, because he is keeping his eyes down the field, he is throwing better. The one thing that could come to bite LSU in the behind in these next couple of days, next couple of games, is the fact that he still does have a little bit of an issue to where a lot of his sacks, I would almost account to him as the reason that he got sacked, in terms of running around a little bit too long, or he kind of runs into sacks sometimes. So maybe just a little bit better pocket ability is what I would say Jaden could work on now in not getting sacked as much, because the protection's been there, but LSU has Jaden's been sacked kind of a surprising amount of times. I think
a lot of that has to do with just the balance of him trying to find when he wants to run and when he wants to step back and pass. And I think that it's just a natural thing that he's got to develop this year. The pocket presence has to be a little bit better. I'm with you on that one. I'm also going to be looking from a receiver perspective. They spent so much time in the week last week, talking up Jack Besh and getting him back involved with this offense in a very big way. You still got Malik Nabers. You got Brian Thomas, Dre Jenkins making plays, on a game-by-game basis. But they still haven't gotten that big kind of Kayshon Booty performance yet that I think they've been really looking for. And I'm going to be very interested, with Kayshon having kind of a week off there, how he comes back, how he looks, how they incorporate him into this offense. I think he's the X factor. I mean, we talked all season or all off season about, potentially Malik Nabers being the X factor. Is it Jaden Daniels? Is it Jack Besh? But I think the more and more time that goes by, if LSU can get any kind of remnants of the Kayshon Booty that was there last year, that was there towards the end of his freshman season, this offense can just really take off, and I think really, really be something special. And they just have to figure out a way to get him more involved.
Yeah, and people have not really talked enough about the one thing that we see happen in sports again and again, is that now Kayshon Booty is playing with dad strength. And that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Alex Bregman gave he didn't give birth. His wife gave birth to a child recently, and then he's now, and ever since then, he's become an MVP candidate this season. Like, it happens. Kayshon playing with dad strength is a real thing. Watch out. He's going to be playing. He has more on his plate now. He really, like, it's legit. Yeah. It's become more real. It's something that does happen. Mississippi, I was reading during the Mississippi State week, their running back, Dylan Johnson, gave birth in the off season, again, had a child in the off season. And it changed his mindset, like, from the get go about, okay, well, now I have to dig in and I really have to do it. So it'll be interesting to see, do we see a more focused Kayshon? It's crazy to think that he might be more focused now after his kid was born, just because, you know, that's such a distraction, but it really does seem to kind of like dial in these athletes. So it is something that we could see. Maybe it happens the opposite way and it gets even worse, but I'll be, which, you know, could be very bad, but I don't think that'll happen. It'll be, I do really, I'm joking about the dad's ring thing, but it kind of does seem to have like a little bit of a pattern. So it'll be interesting to see how Kayshon responds.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. You know, before we get into some other games, or we'll talk quickly about a few other games around the SEC, but you know, we'll certainly give our predictions on this one. You know, I guess I'll start. I think, you know, it's really going to be a lower scoring game. That's just kind of the feel that I get in how, you know, LSU is going to be preparing for this one. I think you can really bank on your defense, but I think, you know, offensively, it's still kind of a show me kind of deal, especially against some of these upper echelon teams. You know, they just haven't been as consistent throughout four quarters as we would have liked in either of those two games that were pretty close against Mississippi State and Florida State. You really found something at the end of that Mississippi State game that I hope, or that I think LSU hopes translates into a game like this for more than just a couple quarters. But I still think there's going to be some growing pains here. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the O-line struggles a bit, you know, with some continuity in terms of them implementing another, you know, one or two guys back into the rotation. And I still think LSU walks out of this one with the win, but I'm definitely kind of in that 23-17 range in terms of LSU winning this one. That was kind of my prediction that I wrote for our preview and prediction piece that'll be up on Friday. I'm at LSU 23-17. But what about you, Dylan?
Well, the fact that this is my first inclination does worry me, but I will go with it. I have the final score of 31-10 LSU.
Wow.
I think it's going to be domination. I really do. I don't have much faith in Auburn to do much, which again, this will come back to bite me. But as of right now, I really don't see an opportunity or a way that LSU doesn't run away with this one. It shouldn't be close. LSU honestly shouldn't give up a touchdown with this offense. And go check the Auburn board. They agree with me. they know where their team's at right now.
Maybe a special teams touchdown is the way Auburn gets on the board.
Well, you know, there's been a couple of broken plays. LSU's defense has been like lights out for like 99.5% of a game, but that 0.5% usually ends in a touchdown for the other team. So maybe that'll happen again. I just don't trust that it'll be close. And, you know, maybe the wild part of this game is that LSU scores 80 because I feel like that's more likely than Auburn scoring 30.
Yeah. I would be surprised if Auburn scores north of 20 in this one. That's kind of my gut feeling on this.
But the crazy part is that's 30-10. That's still, I'm still cracking the under. The under, I think, is 46, I think.
Yeah. The under is like 45.5, 46, something like that. LSU, I think at the last time I checked, was a 9-point favorite.
They're down to 8. They're down to 8.
Okay. So they were started the week at 7, and then I think it got up to as high as 9.
See, that's a really big spread for an away team in an SEC game.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Vegas really does know. Vegas knows something. Yeah. So if it's a weird number like that, I usually trust Vegas, and I'm going to ride with them that LSU is going to blow them out. I think it'll be about 20.
Okay. All right. Well, we do know that Brian Harsin's on the hottest of hot seats, and so you never really know with that kind of turmoil around a program what team will show up. So I think LSU, you know, if they come in and they handle their business, if they show what they've shown the last couple weeks, they'll be in really good shape this weekend.
I maybe I should give them another field goal. I forgot they're doing the stripe game. they're going to try and stripe out the stadium. So that'll be interesting to see if the fans are still bought in enough to care about what color shirt they wear in what section.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't see that. I must have missed that. But there are a couple of other games around the conference that I think are going to be pretty interesting. You got top 10 Kentucky taking on top 15 Ole Miss. You've got Alabama taking on Arkansas, Mississippi State and Texas A&M. Just a couple of really good games I think you're going to see throughout the course of the afternoon. LSU doesn't kick off until 6. All those other games are going to be morning / mid-afternoon games. So you'll get a healthy dose of some really good SEC play, I think. Dylan, out of those three games that I just mentioned, is there any one in particular that you think has a chance to be really, really fun?
Well, I think Kentucky Ole Miss will probably be the most fun, although I think Kentucky wins that one handily, if I had to guess, even though, again, it's an Ole Miss 7, they're favored by 7. If I had to pick a team to win that one outright, I think it'd be Kentucky. But the game I'm going to be focused the most on is Alabama-Arkansas. Again, this is Alabama's first test since Texas. Again, they're favored by over 2 touchdowns. It'll be interesting to see if they really do have a problem this year. And it'll be interesting to see if I don't think Arkansas is as good as some people thought going into the season. But I do think they're better than Texas. So it'll be interesting to see how Alabama fights on the road against a good team. Again, they have another chance now.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that you know about a Sam Pittman team is that they're going to be fired up for that one, especially a home game hosting a top, 3-2 team in the country in Alabama. That's going to be a fun one. That's the one that I was kind of penciling in as one that I think could be a really fun one. KJ Jefferson, I think, is a really fun quarterback to watch, even though he's maybe not always as consistent as you'd like. I think he has a lot of talent and is going to be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday. I do think it's going to be probably Bama that ends up winning that game, but I think Arkansas gives them a good run for their money. I think that's pretty much all we had to cover this for this one. I think A&M, Mississippi State could be a low-key, really fun game as well. How Texas A&M's offense could keep up with Mississippi State potentially, or is this going to be a game where A&M's offense or defense is able to shut down Mississippi State? I think that'll be a very fun one to watch as well. But it's going to be another really good weekend of football. Obviously, from LSU's perspective, if you can get out of there with a win and kind of head into that Tennessee week next week, potentially hosting a top 10 team, the vibes are going to be immaculate next weekend in Baton Rouge if all that plays out the way.
Even though it is a morning game.
That's true.
Again, I don't think it's as big of a deal as people have made it. We'll talk about it more next week. I do think it sucks from a recruiting standpoint, and I think that's the biggest thing. In terms of winning the game, I don't think it has as big of an issue as big of an impact as people think it is.
No, I agree, and we'll get into more of that next week. But until then, folks, make sure you're tuning into the game. We'll certainly have our reactions to the game posted as soon as we can afterwards. Might be a little bit trickier with me being in Auburn. We'll figure out a way to get some reactions after the game, though, up as quickly as possible. But until then, I'm Glenn West. He's Dylan Sanders, and we'll catch you guys next time.
And everybody, stay safe. Stay safe from the hurricane.
Yes.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
IF is the most original and heartfelt movie in years.
Magic like this comes around once in a lifetime.
This Friday, experience it with your whole family.
Can we do it again?
IF, rated PG.